This Sunday we come to Lord's Day 32 of the Heidelberg Catechism. We're now beginning a new part of the Catechism, the third part, with the heading Man's Gratitude. I'm reading from the back of the Psalter hymnal. It's page 44. Lord's Day 32. We have been delivered from our misery by God's grace alone through Christ, and not because we have earned it. Why then must we still do good? To be sure, Christ has redeemed us by his blood. But we do good because Christ by his Spirit is also renewing us to be like himself, so that in all our living we may show that we are thankful to God for all he has done for us, and so that he may be praised through us. And we do good so that we may be assured of our faith by its fruits, and so that by our godly living our neighbors may be won over to Christ. Can those be saved who do not turn to God from their ungrateful and impenitent ways? By no means. Scripture tells us that no unchaste person, no idolater, adulterer, thief, no covetous person, no drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like is going to inherit the kingdom of God. That's Lord's Day 32. And following the sermon, we'll sing together number 462. Congregation loved by Jesus Christ, our Lord, we're now in the third major section of the Catechism under the heading Man's Gratitude, or you could say our thankfulness. And usually there's more optimism as we enter this third section. This is the most practical part. There's a lot of opportunity for application as we go through what follows, the Ten Commandments, one commandment at a time. And then there's more application as we go through the chief part of our prayer, the chief part of our thankfulness, which is prayer. But before we get into all of the practical, more of the practical, we have to look at the most important part of our thankfulness, even more important than prayer. We're looking at the question, why pray at all? Or why obey the Ten Commandments? And we have to understand that when it says, why do good, that we're referring to, why do what's good in God's eyes? Why pray? Why keep the Ten Commandments? I've placed the message under this theme, we must do good works, and we'll look at the reasons. We'll look at least four reasons, and the first point, the source of our good works. Secondly, the results of our good works. So why do good works? First of all, because of who the source is. Secondly, because of all the results that come of it. Now, first of all, the source. Every major religion in the world has some version of Christ's golden rule that we should do to others as they would have them do to you. Let me get that right. That we should do to others what you would have them do to you. Every major religion believes that we should do good works. And it's natural for people to do good works to hopefully cancel out the bad things that you have done in your life. That's what a lot of religions have. Many people do good so that you can buy God's favor. But when we get to the question, why do good works? This is where all the religions divide up. We can hardly agree on that. The way Lord's Day 32 does... it's singling out the way only a Christian would answer. Why do good works? Lord's Day 32 says, we have been delivered from our misery by God's grace alone through Christ. Not because we've earned it. Why do good? But even before we get to the answer, we have to listen to the question because it's summarizing a lot of the scriptures. First of all, you have to do good works. It's not optional. loving your neighbor, respecting those in authority over you, not stealing but using your money to help others, not committing adultery but being faithful in your relationships, not lying or gossiping but speaking the truth to encourage each other. These basic kinds of good works are not take it or leave it. Answer 87 gets into that. It says, quoting from 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "No unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous person, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or the like is going to inherit the kingdom of God." We also read that in Colossians 3. The question is not, do you have to do good works? Lord's Day 32 is asking, why do them? I thought salvation is entirely by grace alone. Why then do we still have to do good? Christ has redeemed us by his blood, to be sure. But we do good, that's the answer, because Christ, by his Holy Spirit, is also renewing us to be like himself. The answer is basically, you have to do good works because Christ, who did part one, redeeming you by his blood, is Christ who does part two, renewing us by his Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ is doing those good works in you. It's important, especially as you hear the sermon this afternoon, it's important to see these two parts of salvation. And when I say part one and say part two, I'm always referring to the same things. Two things that belong together. Don't draw a difference, don't draw a separation between these. The first part of salvation is Christ paying for our sins, making us right in God's sight. You think of a status change. You are right in God's sight. The second part of salvation is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, where he is alive and at work in us to make us alive and presentable before God. Now, if you want one word to describe each part of our salvation that belong together, you would say part one, justification, declared right. And part two, sanctification, being made and transformed right, being made holy. So justification and sanctification. God justifies those he saves. He makes them right with him with absolutely no help from a person. Think of a person dead in sin as though he were physically dead, not breathing, without a pulse, somebody who doesn't know Christ, doesn't live for Christ. When the emergency first responders arrive, they might use a defibrillator, and they try to revive someone like that. The dead person has no pulse. He's unable to help in any way. He's not even able to ask his rescuers for help. That's the first part of salvation. Through Jesus Christ, you are made right before God. Your sins are forgiven, and it's without any of your merit, without any of your action. I think we get that part. But now, Jesus Christ is saying, I do more than that. The second part of salvation is about doing good works. Through Jesus Christ, we are being made holy, presentable in God's sight. And this is different because now it's as though you have been brought into the ICU and you have all these tubes and wires hooked up. We are breathing and we have a heartbeat. And it's only because of everything Jesus Christ continues to do. And now God says, you have spiritual brain activity. It's happening for the first time ever. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. You know, there's something going on in your mind now. We must do good works. We're created for this. We're back online. And Lord's Day 32 reminds us that we have to do good works because Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. That's Hebrews 12. The Lord is not saying, I got you to this point and now you're on your own for your sanctification. I got you through part one and now I want you to do part two on your own. Just follow these instructions and you'll be fine. The Lord's not saying that. Why then must we still do good? It's because Christ, who redeemed us by His blood, that's part one, isn't done yet. He also renews us by His Holy Spirit to be like Himself. The point is, you have to do good works. Because Christ, your Savior, who began a good work in you, who has invested in you personally, giving His life for you, is not going to leave your salvation, the finishing of your salvation, up to chance. But He's personally at work in you to renew you by His Holy Spirit. Philippians 1 verse 6 says, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. You hear that? He who began a good work in you. That's Christ's first work, first part. He will carry it on to completion. That's the second part, making you holy, sanctifying you. Only now there's a difference. In part two, we become involved. Our minds are working, and our hearts and our desires become responsible. So many of the scriptures are teaching this, that salvation is one package with two parts. If you look it closely, you can discern between the two. Hebrews 10 verse 14 says, by one sacrifice He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You catch the two parts? He's made perfect forever. Part one, status change. Made perfect forever those who are being made holy. In Romans 5, we hear that after the Lord's Supper in the form, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? That's through Christ who lives. The Apostle Paul repeats himself in another way in Romans 5. If when we were God's enemies, that's spiritually dead, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. You hear the sound of changing in status, being reconciled through Him through the death of His Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? That's Christ's work of salvation on the cross. Amazing as that is, what Christ did on the cross is now being matched by His work of making us holy. So here's the point. You have to do good works because Jesus Christ does them through you, involving you. Jesus Christ doesn't let His work on the cross, saving you, removing your sins from you, He doesn't let that go to waste. You do good works because Jesus Christ wants His cross to change you. Let's think about how this works for a minute. How will that change happen? If you see the point now that we have to do good works because Jesus Christ has that idea, you might think to yourself, all right, Lord Jesus, go ahead, change me. And maybe many of you have prayed and prayed and prayed again that the Lord would make you different. As a pastor, I often encounter Christians who have been praying for their life long, that they would respond differently, that they would have a different character. No longer snapping at their husband, no longer losing their temper at their children. You pray for a sinful temptation in your life to just evaporate. As God's children, you pray for these things. And as it doesn't happen right away, you feel frustrated. Didn't Jesus Christ say, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." And you've asked. You have sought. You've knocked. That's why we need to, as we think about why do good works, we also have to think about how Christ does his work in us. Think practically. Because we're learning this is not automatic. It's not based on simply asking. And the short answer is that Christ saves us through faith. Now that's nothing new. But if we see of salvation as two parts, one together, they have this in common. We are saved and our sins are washed away by faith, but we're also made holy in the same way. Step by step, by faith. We're simply not perfect today because we have little faith. Something the Lord Jesus has often described his disciples as having. Little faith. That means you look at the output, you look at the results. There's not much there. And here's the point, that all of our thankfulness, every time we turn from sin and do what's right, is going to require us to have faith. And this has to be a refrain as we work through each of the Ten Commandments. Are you going to say yes to the promise of temptation? Are we going to say yes to Christ, the promises he makes? Long-term, glory. It has to become clear then, working through this whole section about man's gratitude, our thankfulness, is how Jesus Christ does good works through us. He's renewing us by his Holy Spirit. And we're going to need to understand something about the Holy Spirit and how he works. He works with God's Word. To put it in short, we do good works because the Holy Spirit works, good works. And we ask the question again, how does he do it? He does it by Christ's words. Do you have faith in Christ's words? When we read the scriptures, as we study it, as we hear it preached, notice how Jesus Christ is working. He's not zapping, just flicking his fingers and putting new life in you. He's getting you to hear his voice, all of his voice, the serious threats, the glorious rewards. He's getting you to hear his voice and that we would have faith in him and take his word seriously. He means what he says. That's what I mean by how does this work? How do we do good works? It's by faith. In Jesus Christ's words from day to day through the Bible. We read from Colossians 3. You probably noticed all the commands there. The commandments of doing good. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. And you notice the intensity, the threat involved there in verse 6. The urgency. Because of these things, these wicked, evil behaviors, the wrath of God is coming. Rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. This is your Lord Jesus Christ speaking through the Apostle Paul, and he's motivating you. He's constantly motivating you to holiness. The second part of his salvation. And in what we read there, it's always clear what the foundation is. Part one of salvation, constantly, go back to there. What has Christ done for you? Verse 1, you have been raised with Christ. And verse 12, as God's chosen people, holy and beloved, you hear that? what Christ has done for you, given you a new status of holy and dearly loved. Verse 13, forgive as the Lord forgave you. We're always going back to part one of salvation so that Christ motivates you to live holy, godly lives. So practically this means that when we beg and plead that God would make us good, that He wouldn't make us or let us fall in our own sinful choices again and again, He answers our prayers this way. He points to Jesus Christ. He says, do you hear His words? Do you have that faith that believes Jesus Christ's words? We will change only as much as we believe Jesus Christ's words. We'll do good only as much as we believe Christ's words. That's why this point can be summarized as Jesus Christ is the source of our good works. Lord's Day 1 says, by His Holy Spirit, you remember Lord's Day 1, how the catechism begins, is by His Holy Spirit He makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. There's the Holy Spirit doing this, reminding us of Christ's words, that He intensely means what He says, whether it's threats or promises of glory, reward, so that more and more we would have the faith to walk in His commands and lead us to life. The point is this. It's through faith that Christ sanctifies us. In other words, through faith that Christ makes us holy, and He works that faith by His Word and Spirit. Why do good works? The answer is a person. The person Jesus Christ. That is also the how. The more we are linked to Jesus Christ, what He says, what He has done for us, the more we do good. If we ask why then must we still do good works, you might have expected that Lord's Day 32 with this fancy heading that says man's gratitude or our thankfulness, you might think that's the answer. Why do good works? And the answer says, because Christ. Because Christ, who did part one of your salvation, is not finished. He's doing part two. So we have to see Jesus Christ, that He is at work, and the only way to be thankful, and the only way to glorify God is to get this handle on because Christ. That's right. Because Christ is at work. That's why I'm at work for good. Let's now go to our second point. Let's look at the results of these good works. When it comes to reasons for doing good works, there are many. If you want to put a big, bold caption, because Christ is doing them, that's a good way to start. But as the Catechism continues to unravel the Scriptures, to elaborate on them, you're going to have at least three reasons, three results that Jesus Christ is looking for. Three reasons. Answer 86, so that with our whole life we may show ourselves thankful to God for His benefits, that He may be praised by us. So here's reason 1A, that He may be praised by us. There's going to be 1B and 1C. It's important to realize that we can please God with our good works. We can. Please God. You can do something good that's acceptable in God's sight, that is pleasing to Him. But not if you are forgetting part one. Pleasing God with our good works is not possible if we aren't right with God by faith in His sacrifice. This means, as we learned back in Lord's Day 24, that our good works can't be our righteousness, not even a part of it. There is no such thing as a good work if by some activity you think you can buy God's pleasure. Good works which can swing God's opinion of you have to be really good. They have to be exactly like Christ. And not one of us have that kind of good work. In complete agreement with the law of God, absolutely perfect for God's glory. That was Lord's Day 24. With that said, though, some of what we do, even if it's imperfect, even if it is defiled with sin, is still called good. It's possible that you treat good works with suspicion. You know, some people can outdo each other with pointing out that we can do no good, that everything we do is defiled by sin. But this goes too far, because it's actually taking down God's work. It's talking negatively about what God is doing in His children. It's taking away God's glory when you disrespect His work. So Lord's Day 32 reminds us that Jesus Christ is the source of good works. He should get the credit where He's been at work. He should get the praise. Why do good works? Because Jesus Christ should get the praise for His good works. Take the Apostle Paul's example in most of his letters. He begins like this. We always thank God when we pray for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the saints. There's Ephesians 1 verse 4. And it will become clear in his letters that those Christians do good works, which are imperfect. They are defiled with sin. But don't miss the point. God should still be praised for what's there. The Apostle Paul is listing those good things so that God gets praised for it. So, do you do the same? I mean, the reason you're doing good works is that God would be praised for it. Do you recognize good works when you see them? Look at the brother or the sister in church. Do you notice that there's no way apart from the Holy Spirit that he or she would do this or that? And do you act on that the way the apostle did? When he noticed those things that were pleasing in God's sight, he says, I noticed what you did. That's good. He says, the Lord has been at work in you. And do you also recognize it in yourself? Do you recognize God's work there in your own heart? Do you deflect compliments that come your way so that God is praised for His work in you? Remember, good works are because of Jesus Christ. There are many texts that remind us of God's pleasure. Hebrews 13, verse 16 says, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. We can actually call some of what we do good. We can actually say they please God. Colossians 1, verse 10 says, we pray that we may live a life worthy of the Lord, and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work. So the point is, do good because God is praised by what Christ does through you. So that's praise for God, a result we're aiming for when we do good works. Answer 86 gives another reason. Here's number 1B, depends on how you number it. Doing good works has this result. We ourselves may be assured of our faith by its fruits. I'd like to just briefly touch on this one. It's worth visiting in detail in another time. What this means by hearing, being assured of our faith by its fruits, is that you would see yourself doing good. Let's say loving God, loving your neighbor as yourself, the way the Ten Commandments spell that out, or praying. That you would be assured in your heart, you'd say, now I know the Lord's at work in me. He's bringing me to eternal glory. That's assurance. A result we're aiming for when we do good works. We're looking for proof that we are one of the sheep who live forever and not one of the goats who are destroyed. Remember that parable in Matthew 25 about the sheep and the goats. The one who does good, or those who do good, are the sheep. And those who do evil or never do good are the goats who are destroyed. Jesus Christ wants you to do good so that you know you are connected to Him. And knowing you're connected to Him gives you long-term assurance. So that's the second reason. The third reason for doing good works comes from answer 86, the last part, that by our godly living, our neighbors may be won for Christ, won over to Christ. So in Matthew 5, in that same Sermon on the Mount, Jesus had said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. That they may see it and praise your Father in heaven. So the Lord Jesus Christ wants those good things you do to be seen. He wants people to praise God, not yourself for doing them, but He wants people to praise God for the good that they see. Do you see the point here? We are always coming back to Jesus Christ, God's glory. We're doing it for our Father's praise. We're doing it for the assurance of faith that our work, that God's work in us is eternal. We're doing it for a witness, a testimony to our believers that others would know the Lord. Now we've gone through a number of reasons why we have to do good works. But it's easy to get lost in all of this because there are quite a number of reasons for doing good works. Most of all, we have to do good works because Christ. Remember, that's the big caption, the headline. If you forget everything else, don't forget that. Why do good? Because Christ is doing good. And we have the mind of Christ, the Apostle Paul said. We need to set our hearts and our minds on what Christ sets His heart and mind on. And our Lord Jesus Christ has this on His mind, that we would glorify His Father in heaven through us. So let's get rid of our old nature. Let's put on the new self, clothing ourselves with that good that Jesus Christ describes, the good of compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, the way Colossians 3 lists it. Why do good? Because Jesus Christ wants to produce good through us for His Father's glory. Colossians 3, verse 17 finishes it like this. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's the one at work, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Amen.